You are listening to Cake Shop, a podcast about the business of cakes, where each week I interview a new guest to give you the inside scoop about all things cake. I'm your host, Rachel Hill. I'm a self-taught cake decorator and owner of Rach Makes Cakes, a cake shop in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks for listening. Welcome to a brand new episode of Cake Shop. If you're following any cake decorators on Instagram, I guarantee you a bunch of them are from Australia. Today, I had the pleasure of talking to one of my favorite Aussie cake decorators, Felicity Cook. We went over everything from her recent rebranding, because she's doing just that. She's trying to create a brand with Felicity Cook, mainly because she wants to continue to stay inspired and be passionate about what she's doing. It's really easy for us to get caught up in the day-to-day and the mundane things and lose our passion. Felicity and I had a great chat about passion and how to stay motivated when things get busy. So we veered away from the cake business quite a bit, but I feel like this is still a really valuable conversation for you to listen to. So check it out. Welcome to the show, Felicity. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Rachel.
Yes, I love chatting about cake stuff. How's your day going so far?
Oh yeah, it's cold. We've just come into winter and it's definitely starting to it's cold. I'm wearing multiple layers and I've heated up a wheat heat pack and it's sitting on my lap. So
oh gosh, you need a cat.
You guys moving into summer, so I need to country hop throughout the year so I can stay wherever it's warm.
Yes, that would be amazing. It hasn't actually gotten that warm here yet because we've had so much rain recently.
Really?
Yeah, so it's stayed pretty cool, but it'll be hot before I know it.
Yeah, well, it's rained all week here, so it seems to be everywhere right now.
Yeah, good grief. So prior to making all of these amazing cakes that you make, what were you doing before you got started with cakes?
Well, I'd actually started my first business. Second business, which was I was doing stationery, like wedding invitations. I'm also a calligrapher, so I was doing that as well. But I had that going, and then I was actually working as a nanny on the side. So I was doing those two things, and then I stumbled across cakes, and then dropped the stationery business and picked up the cake one instead. And then I was nannying and caking on the side until eventually that took off on its own. So I've attempted lots of different things over the years before I stumbled across cakes.
And how exactly did you stumble upon cakes?
I was never really interested in them. I'd never paid any attention to them. I've always been in weddings. I guess I grew up in the Disney fairy tale age of the 90s. And I was always fascinated by weddings and everything about them. And I've always loved paper and writing, all this sort of thing. So I was into the stationery and loved the look of weddings, but never thought about cakes. But when I was nannying, the little boy that I was looking after at the time, it was his birthday coming up and he was turning two and he was quite obsessed with trains. And I said to his mum, I saw a tutorial, I think on Pinterest or something, of a little fondant train like cake topper, and it was a really easy photo tutorial of how to make this cake this train. And so I said to his mum, could I make him a birthday cake? And she was like, yes please. She goes, I can't do that, it'd be wonderful if you could do that. So I made a cake for him and I made a little train and put it on top of it, and discovered that it was a lot easier than I had expected it to be, and found that it was quite interesting. And he loved it, and he, ripped it off the cake and tried to eat it all. And I kind of went, oh, this is quite nice that, they really enjoyed it. And I was like, that was quite fun. What else could I make with sugar? I'd never thought of sugar as a medium to create things with. As I said, I've always been a creative person. I've always liked to make things. And so I thought, well, let's see what else I can find, and started to YouTube some sort of cake decorating videos and, just tried different things. And all of a sudden I found myself completely wrapped up in it and went, well, this is it. I'm going to make a business out of it.
So did it, after that first train cake that you made, did it just kind of go from there? Like people that were at the party were like, hey, can you make me a cake kind of thing? Did it just kind of organically grow after that?
Oh, it's always been organic for me. I think I started, family and friends, you know, I sort of put out there, look, I was trying something new, tried a few, like, you know, did a few, I was always practicing techniques. I am self-taught. So I learned, YouTube was my teacher at the time. And I watched a lot of videos and tried lots of new things. And I put it out there to friends and family, and had a few people start to, book me in. And then I actually can't remember. I mean, it's been 4 years now since I started that, so I can't exactly remember how it took off, but it just started to grow. And then other people at those parties would start to get in contact with me and book me in. And before long, I started to find that I was getting a fairly regular income of clients. So word of mouth is got to be the best advertising that you can possibly get on a business.
Absolutely.
So that's where a lot of it came from, was just – and I think because I was doing a lot of sort of children's cakes, and I think that's actually where you get a lot of business, because you see other parents go, oh, I need a cake. And so they come to you as well.
So back to the stationery and the calligraphy. I know you write on your cakes a lot. Are you self-taught with the calligraphy as well?
No, so I actually did a course to learn traditional calligraphy, like proper Edwardian script sort of stuff. Actually, I don't think that's the right terminology for it, but proper calligraphy. I did a course on that. And that just gave me the basics of understanding the technique behind calligraphy, because it is a lot different to just normal sort of everyday handwriting. It is a very specific art in its own self. I've always loved to write. I love to just scribble and draw things and write things everywhere and anywhere. So if there's a bit of blank paper somewhere, I have a tendency to write things on it. But I've sort of developed my own style from there, and then realized one day that I could transpose that onto cakes as well. And it's fun. I like doing that. I like putting people's names and writing on cakes. I think it's something that you can't get out of a mold or a cutter or anything like that. It comes strictly from my hands. So I've always liked that.
Yeah, that trend I feel like is really taking off, and it's beautiful. And I've never really tried calligraphy. I found a book that I bought like years ago where I like wanted to learn. It may have been before I got married, like for addressing invitations or something. But I just found it because we moved. So I'm going to start trying to maybe teach myself. I don't know though. I don't know how that'll go.
Do you want to, I'll give you a trick. I'll give you a trick for writing on cakes.
Okay.
This is the biggest trick in the world, right? You open up your computer and you open up Word and you write whatever it is that you're going to be putting on the cake. You choose a font. And you trace over it.
Okay.
And then trace it onto the cake. And that is how you can get any sort of block lettering or stylized lettering, if you do like a Disney style or very specific, if you're doing like a themed cake and you need the name to match it, you can get, you can download fonts, you can anything like that. And then so I use like a greaseproof paper or a tracing paper, and you can trace the text that you want to put onto your cake, and you can transfer it onto the cake. So there's a cheat. You don't have to be a calligrapher to write on a cake.
Okay, so that's all. We're going to use your shortcut. Speaking of your tips, I know you film tutorials that you publish. Some of them are free, some of them are paid.
Yes.
What is that production like? Do you have someone that helps you film, or do you take care of all of that yourself?
Well, I've done two batches of tutorial filming, full length, sort of in depth tutorials. The first set that I did, he's now my husband, was my video assistant. He was dreadful. I love him dearly, but he was dreadful because I was editing. So I was doing it, he was filming, and then I was editing the video footage, and there are parts where he was bumping the camera or he was saying something in the background. At one point, and I was showing a really crucial part of a technique, and I don't know what happened, but he bumped it and the camera fell forward, and so all you could see was the floor, and then you hear him go, oh, no, and pull it back up again. So he wasn't fabulous. And then the second set, I just did it myself. I set up the camera. I was actually borrowing a friend's kitchen because our kitchen is not video friendly. So I borrowed a friend's kitchen and was filming in there, and I actually just did it myself. So and then I edit myself on the computer, which takes up a lot of time, and it's probably not – it's certainly not a world-class professional, edit job, but – it gets the job done, so to speak, and it does what it's supposed to do, which is show people how to do the techniques that I do.
Which, as long as they can see what you're doing, that's all that matters. So
absolutely, absolutely. As long as it's clear and it makes sense, it's one of those things. It's something that I talk to. A lot of people ask me about, how to do things, and I'm someone who I run my business by myself and have done so always, and you're kind of a one man band, but it also, especially when you're starting out and you don't have that sort of like a cash flow, I guess, to cover, because some of these things are really expensive. Things like getting a full on site built, or video production, or like elaborate packaging, or those sorts of things which require a lot of money. And if you don't have them, some people go, well, I just can't do it. But I'm the sort of person who likes to go, well, I'm going to work out how to do that myself. It might not be the best it could be, but I'm going to work it out for myself. I'm going to get the best out of it that I can. And so that's what I did. I do that with my sites. I've always built my own sites, and I've always done the video production myself. So one day I'd love to have someone take over at that and do all of that for me, because I can tell you right now that I really hate editing videos and listening to my voice over and over and over and over and over and over and over again for days, especially when you have to go back because you're trying to edit certain pieces and you just hear yourself say the same thing four or five times, and I just yell at the screen and go, please, please shut up. So no one likes the sound of their own voice, but yes, so I do all that myself.
That's so true about not liking the sound of your own voice. I'll hear Travis edits the podcast for me, and so I'll hear myself saying the same sentence over and over and over again, and then I pretend that it's someone else. I'm like, that's not me. That's someone else talking, and I can tune it out.
That's right. So, yeah, it's a very funny thing.
And so you mentioned your kitchen. How is your kitchen set up? Do you bake out of your house, or do you have like another spot that you go to make your cakes?
So I actually have someone who bakes for me.
Oh my gosh.
When I started, I did it all myself, but I came across a company who bakes just naked cakes. So they don't do anything else. They literally just bake, and it alleviated so much pressure from me, and I didn't have to fork out to set up a full-on commercial kitchen or employ any staff to help make that happen. It meant that I could take on more orders and produce more for my clients by having someone else do it. And they're perfect every time. They do a really good job. They give me exactly what I ask them to give me. And what I love doing is the other side of it. So for me, it's, I get given the cake, and they're right every single time, so I don't have to stress about it. And I can just I can do what I do best, which is create a beautiful finished product. So, but I do everything else from home, from my own place. And I have a studio set up where I do all my decorating and everything like that.
That sounds like a dream, because it also kind of sounds like you probably don't have as many dishes to wash at the end of the day, because you're not having to wash cake pans.
Absolutely. And I'm not stuck in the kitchen with my oven just powering away at me. As I said, I mean, I still, like, I do cookies and things like that. I usually do those at home. But yeah, cakes, as I said, I did in the start, but it, as I said, it limited what I could take on, because I would lose so many days in the week just baking, by having someone else do it, I was able to take on more do more cakes for more people.
So I have a couple of follow-up questions about that. How much lead time do they require? Like, if you get are you able to take on a last minute order, or do you have to place your order with them for what you need baked like a week ahead of time? How does that work?
For starters, I don't take last-minute orders anymore, simply because it's too stressful, the whole process. If someone comes to me and says, I need a cake in 2 days, the back and forth of working out what size they want, are they actually going to pay for the size that they want, what do they want on it, what flavor do they want, all of that, I find it too hard, so I don't take last-minute orders anymore. But, yes, they do. They have a lead time. They're pretty good, because I order from them all the time. So if I needed a last minute order, they'd probably get them done for me overnight. But it's normally, I think it's about 3 or 4 business days that they require notice. So I always order the week before for my following week.
That's not bad at all. That sounds awesome.
They're pretty good. I mean, and I don't know how many other companies, I mean, I don't think there are many companies out there that do it, or if they are, I mean, I certainly was never looking for them. It was another cake decorator I know told me that a very well-known cake decorator in Sydney was using this company, and I went, oh, actually, that's not a bad idea, because I was getting very stressed about, you know, making sure that things were exactly right all the time and that sort of stuff. And it cuts down on my overheads as well. I'm not paying a massive electricity bill. I'm not paying for, you know, huge, as you said, like washing up, like I'm not paying a huge water bill because I'm not washing, you know, pans after pans after pans. I still find myself washing up at least 2 or 3 times a day when I'm caking, but it's not as bad as it could be.
Yeah. And so is their cost for you reasonable, or did you have to like account for them being more expensive than what you were paying to bake the cake? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it's kind of bang on actually. I figure for the peace of mind, I mean, I'll pay anything.
Hey guys, I just want to take a quick break to tell you where you can find Felicity online. Her website is felicitycook.co and she's felicitycook.co on all forms of social media. So go check her out. Now back to the show. So I have perused your website a little bit, and I of course follow you on Instagram like so many other people do. I feel like you're creating a brand with Felicity Cook. Is that now the name of the business? Like, are you kind of abandoning Sugar Bee's Cakes, or is that going to be a separate thing?
So, yeah. So Sugar Bee Cakes was when I started that. What was that? 2013 was when Sugar Bee Cakes started. So as of March, yes, I rebranded. I'm now Felicity Cook. So that is the brand. Sugar Bee Cakes doesn't exist as itself anymore. My cakes do still exist, but I am expanding to other areas as well. As I said, I love to make things. I love to create. I also have discovered the joy of teaching other people what I know. So Felicity Cook is becoming much more about creative living. So being creative in multiple aspects of people's lives, whether it's cakes, whether it's events, whether it's, small businesses with their branding, things like that. It's about sharing my knowledge and helping other people learn to do the same sorts of things. The idea is to build a community that people can be a part of, and share more than just the cakes, because I just found that with the cakes, I was at a, like I reached sort of a, like a ceiling on it. It was something where the only way that I could go up from where, cause I reached a point where I was so busy. I had sometimes a maximum of 8 cakes in a week, which is, and most of them are usually wedding cakes, which was huge. And nothing else was getting done. And I was finding that I was very stressed and I was very tired and my back hurt and all that sort of thing. And I was losing some of the passion because that's all I was doing. And I wanted to, keep the passion for what I was doing and the reason why I had started doing it, but be able to do more. So I've cut down on the cakes. So as I said, I've cut back to just weddings now and not taking on other things. And I'm starting to look at some other avenues as well. Does that make sense?
Yes. And so now that you've cut back a little bit, do you have like a new sense of purpose and inspiration now that you're not as stressed?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the funny thing is because I've reached a point where I'm being quite, you know, I'm being very open and honest about this. I reached a point where I was turned to my husband in tears one day and said, I effing hate cakes right now. Like I'm so done with these. Like I can't look at another cake. It's killing me. And I said, you know, I want out. I don't want to do this anymore. It's too stressful. People are hounding on me all the time. That's where I was going to go. I knew that the only next step up was to open like a full-on store and hire staff. And that was never my goal. I was never looking at creating like a physical store with staff and things like that. The joy, the passion in the cakes has always been the design. It's not been about growing that, if that makes sense. So I said to him, look, I need to take a step back. I need to have a look at this again. So by taking the pressure off and realizing that I wanted to change my vision a little bit, I've rediscovered that I do still love cakes, and then I was just quite stressed and I was quite overworked at the time. I still find that, you know, when I scroll on Instagram, it's the cakes that stick out, you know, that I notice first. If I see photos of someone's wedding, the first thing I do is look to see if there's a photo of their cake. I still am fascinated by the concept of working with sugar, and I still love to dabble in it and make new things. So the passion is there. It was when I was overcrowding myself that it became too much. And that's where Felicity Cook is about, helping people take their passion and do something with it, because that's what I wanted to do, which was grow a passion. I've always put passion over sort of focusing on just making money, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I think it's so enlightening to hear someone that's like you, that you've achieved that success, to also talk about how you needed to take a step back and refocus on what was important. Because I think sometimes we get a little caught up in the everything else and not the passion. So I'm so glad to hear you say that. It's really inspiring, because I find myself in that same boat sometimes where I'm like in over my head. I'm like, why did I agree to do this?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other problem is, in this, you know, we live in this world that, like, these days where everything's constantly on. I mean, like, social media is just like, you're on, like, that's it all the time. And as much as people say, you know, oh, you can show yourself and you can show what's really happening, at the same time, you can't. You certainly can't blast all over Instagram or Facebook that you're having a shit week, excuse my language, but that you're having a really bad week, and that you don't want to look at another cake, and that you're stressed, and, you know, the weather's causing trouble with your flowers, and you know, something's too heavy, or that's not gone on right, or this is wrong, or something's, you know, you can't show that, because especially when you're promoting a business which is meant to be you know, intact and working well, and, you know, that sort of thing. You can't show that you're having a human moment. And I think when you can't see that, when you don't see anyone else showing that, you often find yourself thinking, well, I must be the only one who's having a hard time. And it's not true.
I agree.
Everyone has bad days. You know, you have days where, I mean, I had one day where I'd done so well. I had a client who had asked for a whole bunch of cupcakes. There's about 100 of them. And she wanted fondant, like, sugar flowers on top of every single one of them. And that was a massive job for me, because I also had a great big cake for her and other orders. And I had pumped out these sugar flowers. There was about 100 of them. And I put them all on the cupcakes. They were in their boxes. I was like, right, I did it. I felt really good. I was like, you know what? I got that done. This had the potential of being a really stressful week, but I got it done, and they're all finished, and I'm so proud of myself. Went to bed that night, got up the next morning, early morning, I had to drop them off. It had rained overnight, and I hadn't had the air conditioner on in my office, and all of the sugar flowers had gotten the humidity in the air made them wilt. All of them.
Oh, my gosh.
And I lost it. Absolutely lost myself. Actually, no, I take that back. It must have been the night before, because I had to deliver it at about 8 o'clock the next morning. So it must have been the night before that I saw that it had happened. So instead of being done, I had to remake almost 100 sugar flowers and hopefully get them to set overnight so that I could put them on cupcakes. I got them done. She never knew that I'd had a problem. There was no issue with them when I got them to her, but I was up all night and I was a wreck. But again, that's the thing you can't show to other people. So it was moments like theirs when I went, is it really worth it? Is it really worth sitting on the floor of your studio crying at 2 o'clock in the morning? And sometimes I don't think it is.
Right. I agree. And I think that's part of the reason, like, we wanted to do this podcast, is because we all have moments like that. But just as you said, you can't show it. Like, I recently had a cake that had a bunch of fondant ruffles on it. And I took a picture and I sent it to a friend or somebody that I know and trust, you know, and then I sent a follow-up picture, like, flipping the bird at the ruffles, because it was taking so long. And it's like, you know, the client only sees the end product, and they have no idea what we've put ourselves through to get to that point. So yeah. I find great camaraderie in talking to other people and finding that, no, I'm not alone.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. And I found that too. And I mean, that I found that Instagram was great for meeting. And as I mean, hey, we're talking to each other. We know each other across Instagram as well. That it was a great place for finding people who were like-minded and in similar situations. And I've got a couple of very good friends who I've now who are in the same industry. They're not, like weddings and events industry. They're not necessarily cake decorators, but they've become great friends of mine. And we often will, you know, we'll call each other and just go, "Oh my God, this week sucks." and we can bounce off each other, and it saves, you know, scrolling through the perfect world that is Instagram and feeling like a failure.
Yes. So to circle back with what you're doing with Felicity Cook and finding inspiration, I saw that you're doing high tea with Felicity, and it's and just from like kind of the outsider's perspective, it looks like you're meeting with people who inspire you.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
So High Tea with Felicity has come about because I am realizing more and more the importance of surrounding myself with positive, passionate people and the power of female connection is huge. There's a lot out there about, you know, women supporting women, and I'm all for that and all that sort of stuff. But it's more than just about women supporting women. It's about that these women are doing things that they want to do. They are putting their heart and soul into creating something that means something to them. And that means a lot to me because, as I said again, I'm someone who I work alone. I have a tendency to be quite a hermit. I don't often get out and about, which a lot of that comes about because I like to be at home, but also because I work by myself, I'm not surrounded by other people. But every time I go to like a networking event or I go to there's a national awards program here. It's called the Telstra Business Women's Awards. And I was a finalist for my state in 2015, and so every now and then they will have, which means I'm now an alumni of their awards program. And every now and again they'll have events on about it, and I go to these things, and I find myself again surrounded by women who are doing incredible things, and I come home with a spring in my step every time I meet with these people. And I thought, well, if it's doing that for me, because I'm only spending a couple of hours having a chat to someone, what could it mean to someone else who is also trying to do the thing that they love and that they're passionate about, especially if they're struggling a bit. So High Tea with Felicity was kind of a segue from the cakes thing because that's what people have known me for. So it's still got that sweet, you know, it's that desserty kind of thing. It's also, it's a little bit of luxury. It's something where it's not like I'm sitting down across the table and I'm taking notes about what someone's saying to me. We get to have tea, we get to have scones, we get to have, you know, little finger sandwiches and things like that, have a chat. I just ask them a few questions, find out a little bit more about them. But the ultimate aim is that when people, you know, that, and especially other women in business read about these women and what they're doing, is that they'll understand that not only are these other women human, but a lot of the things they're saying will be things that they feel themselves. And I guess it's to give them, you know, the power to keep pushing forward.
You're totally like talking to my heart right now. You know, you were talking about going to those networking events and you come back with a spring in your step. And I feel the same way because I'm like in the same boat as you. Work alone. When I come home, I just want to be home because I don't want to put on shoes or something as simple as that kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I saw your meme about that. So that's so cool. And I'm so glad you're doing that. I'm following along with it. And anyone that's listening should follow along with it too because it's quite inspirational.
Thank you. And it's something that I only do once a month. It's just a little sort of shot of, I guess, like a, you know, thumbs up, like some of the, because one of the biggest things that I found is, and obviously I've only been doing it for a couple of months ever since I rebranded. So it's something that will continue to grow. But in the people, the three women that I've already spoken to, there's one particular thread that followed through all three of them. And that was that what they do is their life. And I've come from most of these, you know, the generation before us, so our parents and our grandparents and things like that, were a generation where you worked because you worked, like, and you had a job and that's what you did. You did a job. And I actually remember I love my mum to death, but we had an argument years ago about something, and I realized just the difference between generation, where she said to me one day, because as I said before, I've always put passion before the need to make money, which is not necessarily a great thing when it comes to surviving day to day. So there've been many years when I sort of first left home and everything where, you know, I was living day to day, but I was always chasing my heart and chasing my passion. But she said to me one day, she said, it's better to just have a job that you hate and have money come in than not have anything come in just because you're trying to do something that you like. And I was like, whoa, this is where there's a problem. It's not just about that. For me, it's not just about that. You know, I'm not just going to go and sit in an office and have a little bit of my soul die every single day, because that's not where I belong. I don't belong in a place like that. I belong somewhere where I get to be creative and do my own thing. And so the thing that I found with talking to these women was that, you know, one particular question that I've asked them has always been, well, how do you separate your business, like work life, and your personal life? And the simple fact is that all three of them have so far said, there is no difference. What I do is my life, and it's just who I am, and it's what I do. And I think that's the biggest thing where you know that you're on the right path, is if your personal life and your work life blend together because you choose for it to be that way, then, you know, you're creating a better life for yourself.
True. We kind of subscribe to that same theory of wanting to follow our passions in our house, because Travis is in the same boat. Obviously, I am too, but we're in that same, you know, we'd rather struggle than sit in an office every day.
Yeah, that's it.
So, I mean, it's...
The hope is that it's not always a struggle, but at the same time, that's kind of what it comes from. It's that, you know, if the passion and the fire is there, then you will make something happen. And I guess that's the goal.
Yes. I kind of feel like this struggle early on, though, is like a rite of passage almost, because I feel like almost everyone has that story of, you know, you finally reach that point where you're like, aha, I've made it, kind of thing. And if you don't struggle, you don't know when you've made it, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, for me personally, and this is, I mean, off topic from cakes, and you don't have to keep this in, that's fine, if you don't want to. But something else that I'm working on at the moment, because I've also launched a social movement, which is about supporting people who've been through domestic violence. And I am a domestic violence, I have experienced that in my life. And so for where I am now and what I've achieved post the hardest time in my life is a massive testament to who I am and what it's done for who I am, because I was, you know, at the lowest of low that I could possibly be, and I took back control of my life and I decided to follow a passion and I decided to see what I could make of it. And here I am today now hoping to teach other people how to do the same thing. So it's for me personally, it's a massive achievement.
I'm almost speechless. Like, I don't even know what to say. I'm in awe of you right now. That's incredible. and I'm so happy that you're willing to share your story so other people can learn from it and hopefully, you know, change their lives for the better. Because sometimes people don't make the change to get out of a bad situation until they hear someone else talk about how they overcame theirs. Did you have anything else you want to add or anything coming up that you want to plug?
I will have something to plug, but it's not ready yet. So I can't plug it yet. But I can tell you that I have got something in the works, which has a lot to do with actually everything that we've talked about today. It all ties together, and it's something that I'm offering to other people who are doing exactly the same thing. So other people who are starting cake businesses and dessert businesses and wanting to learn lots of things. So there is something coming, and it's very exciting, but it's too soon to talk about because it's not fully formed just yet, but it's
cool. Well,
so I'll let you know.
Where can people find you online so that they'll be in the know when you do post it?
Yeah, so people can find me at my always via my site, and that's where they can also sign up to get updates on everything and tips. You know, for always sending free tips about different topics. So that's felicitycook.co, and of course they can follow me on all of my socials. So Instagram's at felicitycook.co, Facebook's at felicitycook.co, Twitter is at felicitycook.co. There's no dot in it, and then Pinterest and YouTube and. It's all on my site. If people go to my site and scroll down, all of my social links are there and they can find me everywhere. But and they can see everything that I do on my site.
Perfect.
As well.
And then we'll all be in the know when you launch your new thing that's coming out. I'm excited to see what it is.
Yeah. It should be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. So thank you so much for joining me today, Felicity. This was an eye-opening and inspiring conversation for me, and I can't wait for all of our listeners to hear what you've had to say.
Thank you, Rach. It's been delightful to talk to you, across the globe. It's been wonderful. So thank you so much for having me.
Yes, and if you're ever in the States, hit me up and we'll get together.
Absolutely. I plan on being there as soon as I possibly can. So I will let you know.
Cool. All right. Well, have a wonderful rest of your week.
Thanks, Rach.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. You can find Cake Shop online at cakeshoppodcast.com, and we are Cake Shop Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you want to find me, you can find me online at rachmakescakes.com, and I'm rachmakescakes on all forms of social media. If you or someone you know wants to be a guest on the show, just send me an email. My email address is rachel@rachmakescakes.com, and that's R-A-C-H-A-E-L. If you're in the Atlanta area, come see me. My shop is located at 620 Glen Iris Drive. That's at the corner of Glen Iris and North Avenue, across from Dancing Goats and Pont City Market. Just check my website or social media for retail hours. Catch you next time. Cake Shop is brought to you by Listen Up Gang, a podcasting network. You can find us online at listenupgang.com.